Today we are in the Radio Gorgeous kitchen, which has temporarily been moved to Charlotte's W5 in Ealing, where Scylla Bjerrum, author of two cookbooks, most recently Robata, Japanese Home Grilling, is doing a chef takeover. Welcome, Scylla.
Thank you very much.
Actually, I have to say welcome back to Radio Gorgeous, Scylla.
Thank you very much. Yes, I think we did something before on a charity I was involved with.
Exactly. You are known throughout London as a sushi chef. You started a chain of sushi restaurants. But you've gone, in this book, you've gone from raw to not only cooked, but grilled at 600 degrees. Tell us about Robata.
Yeah, so I felt it was about time I start learning how to cook after 15 years of cutting raw fish. Yeah, so Robata is obviously often in the West associated with sort of modern sushi bars where you have cooked Robata dishes along with sushi, but it's not actually how it's traditionally eaten in Japan. So Robata is quite an old way of cooking. It's been around for at least 100 years, and it's particularly known because it's cooked over something called Binchotan coals, which gets very, very hot and creates a very pure, clean heat. So it sort of penetrates the protein in a very particular way and make it really delicious, and not like the sort of normally backyard barbecue we used to with sort of slightly charred sausages and overcooked steak. So it's very delicious. It's quite good fun handling a Robata. You really need to sort of work fast and move your proteins a lot. But I think it's something that could really take off on the home front as well, because it creates a very, very particular flavor. Robata is also very similar with another kind of cooking called a yakitori, which I think lots of people know, like skewers. This is also cooked over Binchotan coals. They sort of evolved simultaneously, but one is more like a countryside kind of cooking that then became high-end. This is the Robata cooking, whereas yakitori is more an urban thing. So if you go to Tokyo, you'll see yakitori joins everywhere, where you can get anything from a chicken skewered and cooked. And it is more like something you pop in, have a cold beer or some cold sake and a couple of skewers on your way home. But so in principle, cooked over the same kind of coals, but very different evolution and slightly different as well in its execution. But in the book, I have both Robata and yakitori recipes.
And tell us about, because like you said, we're used to the sort of backyard Weber grill. Tell us about the grill itself. What's it called? I think it's a
Shishiri, and I'm probably not pronouncing that correctly. So basically, it's like a very rectangular chamber made with a specialist clay from the Hokkaido region. And this clay sustains really, really high degrees, and then at the same time sort of retains the heat. So you actually, like tonight here at Charlotte's W5, I'm actually cooking in the main kitchen with this barbecue, which I guess the most similar thing right now would be the green egg. So it's a sort of the original version, or where the green egg is maybe a combination of this grill with a Weber. Maybe that's how that sort of has come about. But because it's this clay can take this really, really high heat of the coals, and because the coals are not smoldering like traditional charcoal.
Yeah, because they're like, whereas a traditional, we're used to a lump of charcoal.
Yeah.
The Binchotan coals are also long and rectangular and incredibly dense.
They're incredibly dense, and they're really sort of two different kinds. One is either pressed, or the other one is natural wood, which is outrageously expensive and very difficult to get hold of. But Binchotan coals, it takes 3 to 4 days to produce in Kilner oven, and originally evolved as a way of the higher layers of society in Japan reheating their houses. They used to have this coal underneath the floorboards without setting their houses alight, which is quite amazing. So,
wow, original underfloor heating.
Originally underfloor heating, then it moved into a sort of like, it looks like a dollhouse cooking stove, but maybe like a pre-runner for the Aga oven. But then it moved into that because they realized, okay, you could do tea ceremonies, you could heat your house, and you could cook with the same charcoal at the same time. And then it became a middle class thing, and then it moved into the restaurant scene. And also there's a lot of anecdotal stories around how the fishermen in the Hokkaido region used to take a little metal box onto the ships with a couple of glowing charcoals or bintang coals to keep warm, I presume, but also they would grill their own lunch on the little ship.
And also that lovely sense of you know, taking home with you.
Yes.
You know, yeah. A little bit of your home with you.
So when you go to sort of really traditional Rabatta grills, the chef sits in sort of in a round, it almost looks like a ship. They sit like sort of cross-legged, and then the punters point out what they want. So everything is on display. There's like vegetables and fish, mainly fish and a little bit of meat. Then you point at what you want grilled. Then they hand over like an oar to you, or they take the fish on an oar back to the grill where they're sitting. They're not moving, they're just sitting still, and then they handed the dish back to you with this oar. And I think that symbolizes the original way the fishermen would then share the lunch at sea. It's obviously an amazing story.
When you traditionally barbecue, you know, again in your backyard, you know, you're sort of basting things and turning them. What I noticed in the book is that you have a sort of sake mirin spray, and that you seem to use a lot. Tell us the purpose of that, and because it seems to be that's one of the things that's different.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a newer addition, but it's more because the flames are so hot, and if you have any fat in the protein and it drips onto the coals, it will flare up, and particularly when you cater for many people at one time, it's sort of a way of handling the flames. And then that sake mirin spray also add a sort of additional umami and tenderness to the protein. So
fantastic. And in the book, you also, it's not just Rabatta, it's not just the grilled foods, you're also serving this in what you call an izakaya style, so that you're serving it with salads and sides and other dishes. Talk to me a little bit about izakaya and what that is.
I mean, izakaya is sort of another version of yakitori. It is, again, a little drinking place, a little pub in Japan where you would have typically lots of different dishes. It's best described as a Japanese version of tapas. And I think, you know, it's become a very popular term because it covers a lot of Japanese cooking under one umbrella. So that's very handy. If you want to serve a little bit of sashimi, a little bit of sushi, you want a bit of the Rabatta grill, and, you know, so you can mix and match the dishes. But I think what I try to put forward in the book is a lot of the Japanese side dishes, which there are so many of. And because the traditional Japanese diet is very much, you know, you don't eat a huge amount of protein, and I guess that's where it differs from the sort of the barbecue we associate with the Western America, where we all like eat a kilo of grilled meat. You know, here you would typically have a lot of side dishes, so spinach and edamame and shishito peppers, which is a bit like petron peppers, and, you know, lots of little light dishes on the side. And it's actually, because obviously it's slightly against the trend to write a meat book at the moment, and it's definitely not a meat book, it's a fish and meat bone, but it's also a way to show how you can eat, you know, Rabatta dishes. There's not necessarily protein, so there's quite a few things that's grilled as well, like aubergine and organic tofu and healthy things like that.
Excellent. And when we speak traditionally about Rabatta, I don't think there are many women there. So in traditional Rabatta grilling in Japan.
No, I don't think so. I think obviously
there's a bit of a gender gap there.
Yeah. And I don't have any tattoos on my arms either, so nor a beard. I think it's quite interesting to be grilling because, I had the same experience with sushi for all those years. You know, I was one of the first female sushi chefs in the UK, definitely. And, you know, I think, it's interesting how that's perceived more as a male chef thing to be over the grill. I am cheating
to
slightly.
To be dealing with open flame.
Yeah, and I'm cheating slightly tonight because my husband is giving me a hand with this particularly guest chef event at Charlotte's.
Excellent. And tell me about that, because one full disclosure, you and I do a pop-up together, but let's talk, which is called Brockton. But let's talk about a little bit about that guest chef taking over and pop-ups, because they are becoming more popular and more of an urban way of eating in London and New York, certainly. Talk to me a little bit about that.
I also have a full-time job, so I think, you know, it's for me, you know, I need to get near the stove sometimes. I need to get near the knives and the rice, and for me it's a really fantastic way of, you know, not having the burden of running a restaurant full-time just at this moment, but on the other hand being experimental and be part of, you know, of the cooking scene, cooking different places and very different format, you know. So you and I got our little thing at Vinedinista in Acton, which is fantastic little gem, and it's sort of very local led. Charlotte's has been more like a proper restaurant proposition. I'm doing something with Japan Society later on in May, and I'm also going to Copenhagen to do something for my sister's new place in Copenhagen called Hahnemann's Kuchen. So, you know, there's different ways of getting out there and meet different people. And, you know, I think pop-up has a different energy, you know, because you don't have a bad day on a pop-up. You prep for it and you're ready for it. And, you know, obviously things goes hopefully as smoothly as possible. But it's not like you're not going into a restaurant where the chef is having an off day, because that's exactly what it's not about.
Exactly. Excellent. Well, good luck tonight.
Thank you very much.
And enjoy your time by the flames.
I will, indeed. Yes. Thank you.